السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Please prepare or translate this poem. And it is a lot of lesson for the topic that we want to discuss. The poet, in the most beautiful picture, it presents to us the final moments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I want you to think about how many years have passed from this final moment. And every year, we are the year 1440. 1,500 years almost reaching. So 1,400 plus years this wasiyat was given. Although the poem is, the poet is making up his own wording, but this was the scene. He says, "O Bilal, now my legs will not allow me to walk anymore. Now I think the time of saying goodbye, farewell has come. Lo'ab al-wida hamari, you take the farewell. But amazing this thing is, I will but farewell, but I will always be with you." Allah's Nabi is not also doing that. So he says, "You take my Quran and you take my Sunnah. And I promise you these two things will show you the road to Jannah. If along this path any difficulty has to come to you," and he says, "you manage that difficulty. Because you've got a guardian in front of you." He says, "But do one thing for me. Take the difficulty upon yourself, but do not break somebody else's heart." He says, "All you have to do is reach there. And you reach for what is called the gift of Iman. When you will get there, I myself will come and meet you at the bridge of Sirat. I will not allow my Ummah to fall. I myself will come and meet you at the bridge of Sirat. I will not allow my Ummah to fall. If you do not find me there, then you will meet me at the Kawthar. Because if I find you thirsty, then there I will be ready to give you water. I will not allow my Ummah to hold thirsty. Perhaps you will see me at the Mizan, at the scale. When the two scales, the pairs will be moving up and down. Just if I find that your scale is not making it, then I will put my hand on the scale and I will make sure it makes it." He says, "And if you are needed by the Arsh of Almighty Allah, when you are at the final place of judgment in the main court," he says, "then I'll be there also. And I will shed so much of tears, and I will make so much of dua that I will not allow you to fail there under the arsh." This was a unique wasiyat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wording was, when he spoke about difficulties that the Ummah is going to see, but he said, "If you hold on to two things, you will definitely find the way." When you speak about the word fitan and child, what it meant a flood. And hardly anything stands in front of a flood. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left two rocks. He called it the Quran and the Sunnah. Whoever will hit on a rock, and then he holds on to that rock, no matter what the force of that storm water is behind him, as long as the rock can guarantee it's not moving, the man who's holding on to the rock will not. He says, "I will leave behind you two things and I promise you it's not going to move. 1,400 years of shaitani effort already to try to break this word Quran or to break Sunnah, the two things stood. But along the way there were those who hit onto it and got stuck. And they survived. And there were those that never thought this Quran and Sunnah got their strength. So like the son of Nuh alayhi salam, they said, I'll go to the high mountain and perhaps I will save myself there. When trials and tribulations come, you will be saved nowhere except that in the Quran and Sunnah." The verses of Quran that were recited today in the Jummah, before the Jummah Salah, I spoke about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam's dua. So we said the first part of tarbiyat, nurturing, is dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he never needed perhaps to make the dua. He was a man who was made already. Ismail al-Islam had proven himself already. When he told his father, "You want to slaughter me, slaughter me." Which boy in the world has ever said that? Oh, my father, put the knife there, inshallah, you will find I will be patient. Despite that, Ibrahim al-Islam made the two du'as. One was, "Oh Allah, protect me and my child, my progeny, from worshipping idols." And that word that he used, "Inna hunna adlalna kathira minan nas." How many they have already taken away? How many have gone to the fire? Normally when I speak about world war. Because world war brought us into a new era. Before what we call World War I and World War II, the world was different. The war came and it changed. In the war many died. They got shahada. They got martyrdom. Perhaps people cried about them, but they went straight into paradise. But we saw this coronavirus, and perhaps if there will be, I don't think, but perhaps if there will be one more, they say a spike in November. If there has to be that spike, it's just because in December they want you to make sure you take the vaccination. So perhaps we might see one more spike. Whoever gets sick, and some will pass away in that. That is how people passed away in World War I and World War II. People cried and they said so many died, but whoever died went straight into paradise. Whoever saw the few years after World War II, the next 30 years was what was called the attack on the Iman of Bedouin. That group died with Iman, this group lived without Iman. It was after the attack that the war started. It was after the attack that the war started. When everyone got worried in this one, and everyone made dua for the life, meaning physical life of myself, my wife and my child, it is after this attack that the war is ready to start. If we had made so much of dua for physical life, don't forget to make dua for spiritual life. Because if the child survives the war, the first, and he loves to become an animal, then you yourself will start making dua for your child to die. In the next few years, we might see a world of animals around us, where young minds will be made from a young age into a monster. His thoughts will be filthy, his talk will be filthy, his ideas will be filthy. So much will be presented to a clean mind. Whether it's in the school, whether it's on the phone, whether it's through glasses. Wherever he moves, he will just see filth and dirt, filth and dirt. When the ingredient will be so filthy, normally you will expect that the result will also be so filthy. So when World War II had completed and the Khilafah came to the end, there is a world of Islam, what we call Egypt, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Arabia. This word modernism spread like anything. So if there was a scarf, the scarf came out. If there was a trouser, the trouser came out. If she was a Muslim, she became European. If there was a madrasa, it became a school. The entire world changed. And if there was a believer, he was thinking of either becoming a Christian or an atheist. During that time, a very great scholar of the time, Sheikh Abdullah Nasim Alawan, perhaps he was born around, maybe about 1928, around there. That was the hard time. So around 1958, he was in Egypt studying. And because of his jazba for deen, many of the books that he wrote, it was the reign of most likely Abdul Nasir, Jamal Abdul Nasir. So they exiled him, they expelled him from the Azhar University. And finally, he had to go back to Hal Sham. He taught and he passed away. He had a lot of jazba when he saw what was happening in the world. He saw the scholars had given up. So in one book that he wrote, "Ila Warathatil Anbiya," my plea to the inheritors of the Anbiya, they do something for the world. Because when you see everything collapsing, it's like a cry. One of the scholars who was his friend said, "If you met Sheikh Abdullah Nasir Alawan, you would have thought of that hadith that person in my ummah who doesn't wake up and sleep with that gham worry of the ummah, there's like no place for him. He said he had that gham. He was burning at the time when everything was collapsing. So when he spoke, he spoke to the scholars, they do something for the ummah. And then he worried about the youth. So he wrote one book which was called Tarbiyatul Awlad fi Islam. That how to nurture your children in Islam. Such a fervor for deen he had, that after the compilation it came to about 1,200 pages. 1,200 pages of just a cry. Where he started from before birth. Before birth means when you are thinking of getting married. Then don't just go look for Mrs. Prati Prati. But think about this woman has to be the mother of my child. That from before birth, and he took it right to the end. In certain chapters he says that perhaps you will not find after this year so much regarding one topic. 1,200 pages is a lot. So many of the ulama that came after, they appreciated this work, and many of them said, we never saw so much of effort. And what a time, 1958, that jazba of his that somehow saved the ummah. In Pakistan, there was a great scholar by the name of Maulana Dr. Habibullah Mukhtar Rahimullah. He found this book. He was extremely thrilled with the book. But 1,200 pages was too big, so he made it smaller. Hazrat Maulana Khabru Zaman from India, Dama Barakatu, he also saw the book, and his desire was also to make it shorter. And then he saw the shortened version of Maulana Habibullah Mukhtar, so he made that short. So now from the 1,200, we ended up about 200 pages. A few years ago, myself and my brother, we translated this. Allah's Fadl, we had to do the 200, not the 1,200. So that time we translated, and we never really thought much about it. But recently, when this lockdown started, my brother, going through his computer, he found it. So he said, why don't you send it out? So a little work took place on it. There's a website that many of our writings are put, it's called Spiritual Light. Spirituallight.org.tv. So on Spiritual Light, there's 14 chapters. Each chapter is about 10 to 15 pages. It is called Nurturing in Islam. Whichever part you fit in, if you're thinking of getting married, part 1 is for you. If you're already a child, part 2, part 3. If your child is 4 years or 5 years old, sexual education in Islam. Then do I speak to the child? Don't I speak? What do I tell the child? If your child has gone astray, there's a chapter for you, how to get him back. How to work on the child. So it's a very unique book, and we have made it into smaller chapters. Whenever you got the chance, or normally men where they read, they tell their wife, to make sure you read this. But remember, being a father doesn't just mean getting a child. Being a father doesn't just mean getting a child. You have to be a father till the end. When the mother had to carry that child, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَعْرًا, there was the time when the child never wanted to be on the ground. Almighty Allah says it's difficult. That mother had to put the child on the lap, put the child on the arm. Wherever she wants to move the child, they carry. But during that 2.5 years when the child was telling the mother, carry, it was difficult to carry the child on the muscle, but it was easy on the heart. Once the child learns how to move himself, then you will have to carry the burden of the child with your mind and with your heart. Every day there should be dua, he mustn't go astray. You'll have to make sabr on his hardships, on his difficulties. If he got a problem with his wife, you will have to be making more dua than him. That's a father. A person just says, now I got him married, I can rest. We tell him, you're dreaming. This is not gentle. This world is still the ending. Your child might make you wife, but that's why you are father. Our paradise has been written somewhere else. So the book was quite lengthy. I will not mention what's in the book. As you go through the chapters, whoever needs will take. Three points he mentioned, however, at the beginning. I will speak on these three. The first is, he wrote that, I appeal to every father that when you look at the evil around you, don't ever become despondent in the power of Allah. So this verse after this Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, in the next ruku Allah Ta'ala mentions this. Look at the beauty of the Arabic language. Because in the next few days you're only going to hear about conspiracies. And conspiracies is not a lie. Rather the matter is, it's even worse than what they're telling us. But do we become scared of the conspiracy? I know the devil is there. Do I become scared of the devil? Or do I walk towards the devil? Umar radiallahu anhu walked, the Iblis, Shaitan had to go on the other side. Allah Ta'ala left this for the Ummah of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we walk towards evil and light expels darkness. We are not scared of a dark world, we are the light. No one has to say, put on the light. I am the light, you are the light. And our children are the light. So we do not become scared with a conspiracy. We do not become scared with a plan. We do not become scared with a plot. At the same time, we don't close our eye and allow them to shoot us. We take our shield, and with a shield and trust in Allah, we go front. Did Badr take place by anyone going the other direction? They went towards the enemy, and then the help of Almighty Allah came. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Bani Israel, Allah promised you the land. Two people said to the Bani Israel, we promise you, just enter and Allah will open. They said, if someone has to fight, they said, oh Musa, you and your Allah, you'll go and fight. And when the battle is finished, then call us. Me and you all want that the Mahdi must come. He must destroy evil, he must destroy kufr, he must destroy Satanism. And finally, when the call is made that there's a lot of slave girls here, you want everyone to say, I'll come. That's not going to happen. The soldier will have to go into the battle with a shield. When he will do this, Allah Ta'ala speaks, and look at the beauty of the Arabic language. وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ. That indeed they have done a lot of their plans, and every plan of theirs is in front of Allah. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. And indeed their plans are so severe that even mountains will move because of these plans. Very severe plans. But look at the beauty of Quran. In that same verse, another translation can be taken out. This is the beauty of Quran. One verse. One meaning was, their plans are terrible, it will move mountains. The second meaning of this verse is, وَإِن means وَإِنَّ, which means no. وَمَا كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. But remember, no matter how terrible their plans are, that Muslim youngster, boy or girl, who's burning with iman, is known as a mountain in Islam. Allah Ta'ala says, remember that mountain of iman, they are not going to manage to move it with their hands. وَمَا كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. That mountain of iman, it's not going to move. May Allah Ta'ala make it that me and you, my child and your child, becomes that mountain. وَمَا كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. Now what we have to think about is, how do I make my child that mountain? How do I make him so strong that when the winds of evil blow, it's a mountain. It blows past, but the mountain stands. There were those columns that people said an earthquake took, but the thing remained. They said, what a column. Allah Ta'ala in this verse showed such mountains are created. When such mountains are created, all we have to do is to say, oh Allah, will you create one in my household? I want that mountain. So the first is, there's no despondency. That level of no despondency has to be far. One is, when you get a child, don't be so lax to think nothing will happen. Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua taught us that. He said, oh Allah, save me and my progeny. Don't ever think you can't be attacked. And on the other side, don't be so despondent that you're just like, I can't do anything. So Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had a Yusuf, and he had the brothers of Yusuf. Allah Ta'ala mentioned his incident to teach me and you. You want to be a father, you will have to be a Yaqub. You want to be a father, you will have to be a Yaqub. That every child is not Yusuf. Your every child will not be the best. He will not be the most clever. He will not be the most obedient. You will have different types of children. You will have a Yusuf, the apple of your eye. You will have the brothers of Yusuf. When the brothers of Yusuf conspired to first kill Yusuf a.s. and then they agreed, we will not kill him, we will put him in a well. Someone will take him out of our life. Yaqub alayhi salam, until the day came where Yusuf alayhi salam came back, every day would sit on the same dastarkhan of those children. And he knew that it is these children who took away my Yusuf. He gave a lesson to the world that to be a father, you will have to keep your door open for your children. To be a father, you will have to keep your door open for your children because you the father. He cried and he went blind. But years later when Yusuf alayhi salam came, and he was called as the king of Egypt, and Yusuf alayhi salam sent a message that bring my father and my family. And that time Yaqub alayhi salam said, tonight I will ask Allah to forgive you all my sons. You know how many years he had to wait for the day of their tawbah to be accepted. But until that day, Yaqub alayhi salam kept them as close as he could to him. He taught the world to not ever become despondent in the mercy of Allah. Even after so many years, there's a chance one day my child will come back. Until that day, my door is open. That is a path. You will have to start at the beginning and you will have to take it till the end. During the way, ulama have written, be a father till the age of about 9 or 10. After that, you will have to become a friend. Be a father till the age of 9 or 10. After that, you will have to become a friend. The role of a father is a different, the role of a friend is different. The role of a father is when the son is naughty, you can just give him one small shot. The role of a friend is, you can't hit your friend. After the age of 10 or 11, when your son becomes the boss, you will have to become a friend. Don't act like a father. Because if you have to tell the boy, I'll curse you, that boy will say, Daddy, I'm cursing you from years already. What the fuss? You're the father not supposed to curse. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu made an error. Another Sahabi said some word that may you be destroyed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't help the devil against your brother. He's already in a problem. You helping the devil, pushing him down. The father will have to make dua. There's one incident that's written in these books which is called Stories That Will Make You Cry. Lengthy incident, but the crux of the entire was that a person does not for his mother and he goes out of his way, but sometimes when he finds the mother becomes the gap between him and his wife. So out of love he spoke to his wife that we will bring my mother into the house. She said, no problem. The mother came, mothers are mothers. They got their own habits, they got their own moods. A time came where he and his, the mother and the wife started having the arguments. And whatever happened, happened, and he blamed his mother. It's a very long story, but finally he had to tell his mother, will you please just go? Because you spoiled my whole life. So his mother looked. But she had looked after him because his father had died when he was very young. So she had earned and she had looked after. She had earned and she had looked after. She brought him up, she educated, she got him married. And at the time now when her legs became weak, he had to tell his mother, I'm sorry. So the mother went and he went. And perhaps years passed where he would not even send a letter to his mother. And then his own marriage, after that problems came. He had his own children. They themselves started becoming rude. Whatever happened, happened, and finally his wife took the children. When his wife left and he came home and he saw no home, and he started thinking of his life, the picture of his mother walking out of the house with the bag came. And he said, how will I meet Allah? And I had to ask, where's your mother? So he goes back to his land, and he inquires from people, is my mother still alive? Even back here. And he's directed to one like an old age home. And his mother was there, she was blind of it. So when he comes and he speaks to the person at the counter and he asks, oh, you want to visit, who's this person? He says, but I never knew she had a son. So what's your name? And he gave her name, and this woman looks shocked. She says, that's you. And whatever his name was, Muhammad or Umar or whatever. So he says, like, why you know me? He says, whenever I go near your mother, I can hear from her tongue dua for Muhammad. That's all. You will have to start from the beginning dua, you will have to go to the end. Along the journey, even if your child goes off, your du'as will have to one day bring it back. There is no despondency in this game, number one. Now you think, hey, it's not so easy to be a father. We're not created for this world, we're created for another. Number two, in every era there's a need of the time. When a business is coming up, the first thing they say, we're looking for so and so people, can you fit the criteria? Turkey today has come up to a unique level, it is called like a revolution. Revolution of Turkey, Islamic Turkey. Most of the things that started coming in front of the eye was what we call after the failed coup. Allah Ta'ala makes it that in dust to get everything. So the enemies of Islam felt that if they could take over Turkey, then that rise that is happening will just come to an end. But when Allah makes a decision, the entire opposite happens. The coup failed and it gave the people of Deen a chance to like spring to the end. So it was about 2 years before this coup that we had the chance to meet a person who was part of this government, what was at that time called the Erdogan government, But they were not strong. So this man, he spoke to us in such a manner that someone said that if you had to ask me for a bayan of iman, like normally when we see, they say that imani bayan, come tonight, there'll be a bayan after Isha, come for an imani bayan. But when we met with this person, he never had the looks of iman. But when he spoke, the one ali who was there, he said, if you had to ask me for an imani bayan, this is an imani bayan. This was 2 years before the coup. So in that he spoke to us about how hard it is to be part of the government. He said, because everyone around you is a potential hypocrite. He said, you don't know who the hypocrites are. He said, the bank is not with us, we know that. He said, we know the newspapers are not with us. He said, we're sitting, but we don't know anyone around us who we can trust. And then he gave us some incidents of how they tried a couple of times to murder her, to assassinate the president, and it never worked. And then after that, about 1.5 years later, was the failed coup. Among the things he said to us, however, was, he said, when we were young, at that time the law in Turkey was, if you become or you study anything to do with Quran, you will not be allowed into politics. Only that person can enter the political arena who has not gone to what was called like a small madrasa. So he said, we were in that small madrasa. And one of our shuyukh, a certain time came when he looked at a group of us and he said, I want you all to study politics. So one of the boys said, but Sheikh, what benefit will we get studying politics? Because the law of this country is, if you have learned Quran, they will never allow you to be a politician. So the Sheikh said, you must just study politics. And he put so much of emphasis on it that this group, they studied. It was not a huge group, it was a small group. He says, how that Sheikh spoke that day, we never knew. But the time came when we found the Muslim government of Turkey looking for people to come in the office who had studied Quran. It was only us they could find. He says, the day we were brought into that office, we thought about that word of the Sheikh, you just study now one day. One day. Whenever some vacancy is coming, whoever gets ready to fill that vacancy will be selected. May Allah tabarakala make it, we are on the brinks of a revolution. This land and this deen and this flag of Islam does not remain down for more than 100 years. It has never in Islamic history remained down for 100, and it most likely will not remain down again. It always brought itself up before the 100 year was completed. We are coming close to that 100. Already in the world we see the beginning of a revolution. A camp of Iman is coming up. When it's going to come, there are going to be vacancies. If our children can fill those vacancies, then it will be an honor to the people of South Africa. It will be an honor to the people of South Africa. When the Khilafat fell, Islam went, and it settled in different lands. Allah's Fadl, what happened, but one place that it found the place was what we call India, Pakistan. In a land which the language of Arabic was not there, madaras came up. Madrasas came up, students were created, and they fed the world, tabligh was created. That was India, Pakistan, which was a land where there were not Muslims. South Africa, there was hardly any. Small towns we had, small masjids we had, once a few people. Who would ever have thought Deen would have said, I'll plant myself here in South Africa? Today we saw a time where in our madaris of South Africa, students are being sent to the world. When a vacancy is made, whoever is ready to fill that, Allah Ta'ala says, take it. At that time when people put up small darrooms in South Africa, perhaps someone would have thought, what you are putting in madrasa, you are going to study in other countries. This is not a Muslim country. Who will ever come and study? They filled a vacancy, Allah brought the people. We are moving towards a vacancy, which is called the vacancy of the revival of Islam. Tarbiyat of our children is to understand what that slot is and to start preparing our children for that slot. Our hope and our desire, our dua is that slot now is to be part of the army of the Mahdi. That slot will be there. And whichever of our children will be allowed to fill that slot, it will be said, enter. This is not a camp that will ask you, what's your ID? What's your color? What's your race? It will say, are you ready to enter the camp? It will say, enter. What an honor it will be for you and for me. If one day standing next to the Mahdi would be my child or not. What an honor it will be for me and you. If one day our children can say to Isa alayhi salam, I bring you the salams of my father, would we not want that one? So when you look at your child, say, oh Allah, if that vacancy is there, will you use him to fill it? Whoever is going to put up his child, selection is by Almighty Allah. But when he chooses, he gives it all also. So one is make an intention. That the revolution that is going to take place, O Allah, let my family not be kept out of that revolution. Number two, start some preparation. The preparation is true. One friend of mine came, he heard something I spoken of the Mahdi, he said, from tomorrow I'm starting 200 push-ups. 200 push-ups. So when I went to his town, the whole bayan was on this. That the preparation for the army is not muscle. Because there will be many strong people who will not go through the Mahdi, he will go against the Mahdi. The preparation is not only muscle. It is first mental preparation and then physical preparation. So in this book he speaks about this. Mental preparation, be ready to give your life. And then physical preparation, make your body ready. Physical preparation, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu laid the foundation on which everyone must grow. I mentioned it before Maghrib, I will mention it again. Amalo is known as a farm. We all know Amalo as a farm. But whenever I came to Amalo, I never saw a horse in Amalo. Alhamdulillah, they told me, they are, but you don't see. The only thing I see in Amalo is BMs and Mercs. We need to bring the horse back. Allah's Nabi Rasul said four things. Three are what we can give your children when they're young. And one is they get married. And they can spend time with their wife. But three things, he said, give them horse riding, give them archery, give them swimming. That's the beginning of your child. But in each thing, I'm not teaching you how to ride a horse, to jump and go for competition. I'm teaching you because this is your inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That your forefather was a man on the battlefield. At the age of 40, he got Nubuwa. At the age of 53, he reaches Medina. The battle of Badr is when his age is 54. From the age of 53 to 63, his life is on the battlefield and at home. He did not say, I think I'm old now, I can't lift. He would lift up the shield. He would say, Anan Nabiyyu la kadhib. When arrows were coming in its torrent, and the enemy just managed to break through the Muslim rank, Sahaba radiallahu anhu started moving away from that arrows. The Sahabi says, I tried to pull Nabi Sallallahu's animal away from the enemy. Nabi Sallallahu turned it and he went towards the enemy. Moving alone to the enemy, I'm trying to hold it back. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu said, Anan Nabiyyu la kadhib. I am the Nabi of Allah, there's no lie in this. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib, let me go front. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, whenever there was a noise, the horse of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first to be reaching in that direction. The inheritance of our grandfather Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that me and you are not supposed to be cowards. We are not supposed to be cowards. So in the few months of what was called the corona fear, the fear I will die, perhaps we did fail in this fear. But a unique man is a man who sees where he fails and he prepares for the next exam. When the time of the call of the battle comes, I got the inheritance of a man who went towards the arrow. And he said that I am the Nabi of Allah, there's no lie in this. And he came out alive. Islam taught me and you, going on the battlefield doesn't mean we're going to die. And staying at home doesn't mean we're going to live. Islam taught me and you, going on the battlefield doesn't mean I'm going to die. And staying at home doesn't mean I'm going to live. Whoever's going to die, whoever is going to live, Allah Ta'ala answered when Hippocrates said to one group who went to the battle, that had you stayed at home, you would not have died. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَمِنْ قُتِلْ Allah Ta'ala says, say to them, that if death is written for you, it will pull you out of your house the day you have to die. وَلَمِنْ قُتِلْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُتْتُمْ Then whether you were killed in the path of Allah or you died at home, لَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُخْشَرُونَ Remember, everyone is going for the path. When death comes, it rather meet us on the battlefield instead of meeting us at home. Me and you, this few year, months of this year, showed that we grew up with cowards. And we don't blame ourselves because when we were young, perhaps our mothers gave us that small gun that made a noise. But as soon as they asked for the gun that shoots, they said, no way. That was the environment. Mental preparation start on your child that you are created to die for Allah. You are not created to live for the world. That child, when you look at him, you must call him Mujahid. You don't now anymore call, the error is finished. When you look at your child, say doctor. Say engineer, that time is finished. There's enough engineers, there's enough doctors, they fill all the slots. Now when the boy graduates as a doctor, you ask him, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for a job. There's no slots left. Now there is a slot. Are you ready to give your life for Allah? Those slots are available. When the cap of the Mahdi will be there, the child has to only show I'm ready to die for Allah. Obviously, me and you, perhaps, we would not have been allowed in the camp. Had we come with so much of fear to die, we would have come to the camp of the Mahdi and said, where's the sanitizer? Say, my friend, you enter here to die, don't come here to live. That is the camp. It got nothing to do with preparation of muscle, it got to do with the mind. If this lesson is not given to our children, then the dream of putting my child in that camp, you will never find the dream. Everyone who goes on the battlefield does not die. And everyone who stays at home does not live. I'll have to say it so many times to my child, that the day he faces a fear like corona, like what I and you face, he looks at it in a different eye. He says, my Islam taught me, I don't run towards danger. But at the time of danger, I don't run away from danger. Allah's Nabi taught it so unique. He said, there's a plague in an area. He said, people who are outside, don't come in. But then he said, the person who's inside, let him not run out. What a unique law it was. That person who's inside, where is he? His father got the sickness. Who's going to treat the father? If he had so much of fear for his life, he would say, Daddy, I love you, love you, love you, but my life is more important. Assalamu alaikum, I'll meet you in the yard. He would have ran. During this few months, there were those, and may Allah forgive whatever it happened. Learn from our mistakes, it must never ever happen again. If death comes in my house, Iman has taught me I must face death. Because if my father is sick, who's going to look after him but me? And if someone says, but you'll die, you will say, I was born to die to make the khidmat of my country. I was not born to live. And those did. My father got sick. So I phoned someone and I said that these are the symptoms. So he said, he got it. So he said, immediately make sure no children are brought to him. I said, what no children? All the grandchildren are sitting on his lap at the moment. The whole room is packed. Whole room. There were some doctors who heard this. They were very upset. As a father of Allah, no one died in that room. No one. But the grandchildren gave life to him when he was not well. Because when you're not well, you want people around you. You don't want people to say, I'm scared of you. I don't want to give you your food here, take it here. If we make the mistake one time, do not make it again and make tawbah from that error. Allah's Nabi Rasul said, if you in that area, do not run out. He said, whoever will remain in that area with patience and understanding that nothing will ever afflict man unless Allah wants, even if he loves, he will be given shahada. Even if he loves, he will be a martyr. Now me and you must put it in my mind, but more train my child. Because when you learn how to drive when you're old, you can drive, but you're not natural. Learn how to swim when you're old, you can swim, but you're not natural. Teach a child how to swim, he moves like a fish. I have learned the lesson now, but it's not me. I can put it in my child, you're born to die for Allah. You are brave from day one, you're not a coward. You must go towards fear, you don't run away from fear. It must be so much in him. He must be an Abdullah bin Zubair of the Arab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife is Aisha radiallahu anha. Her sister is Asma radiallahu anha. Both the daughters of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. This is the family of jihad. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anha is the first child. That he is born to the Muhajirin after they reached Medina Munawara. The Jews have said, we have made black magic onto the Arabs who are coming. they will get no child, meaning no male. For about 12 months or so, there was no male born. Sahaba radiallahu anhu were worried about this. Asma radiallahu anha was in Makkah Mukarramah pregnant. Her day to deliver passed already. Almighty Allah did not allow the child to enter the world until she reaches Medina. When she comes at Quba, then the pain starts. Abdullah bin Zubair is the first boy that is born. His message to the world is, no matter how terrible the magic of the Jew is, he cannot break the command of Allah. This 5G that they speak about in the next few months, what we will start seeing, and all the lies and the fears and the poison, and there is poison in 5G. There is the worst of black magic, Jewish magic, satanic magic. It's all in the 5G. Coronavirus was a stepping stone to 5G. 5G will come out with its evil. And the purpose of it is to make sure that not one Muslim remains to take part in that army. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu's birth gave a message to the world. No matter how strong Jewish magic is, he cannot break the command of Allah. When Allah wanted a boy to be born, he was born. Sahaba radiallahu said, Allahu Akbar. A message was given, forget their power, we got a greater power above. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu, his nephew says, the first word that came on the tongue of my uncle was sword. Said the first word that came onto the tongue of my uncle was the word sword. Safe. Normally would say, I'll teach myself Allah. But his first word was sword. Jihad, uncle. He says that he would only say this word, safe, safe, sword, sword. He says, whenever his father Zubair bin Awwam radiallahu would hear it, he would smile at his son. And he would say, لَيَكُونَنَّ لَكَ مِنْهُ يَوْمٌ وَيَوْمٌ وَيَوْمٌ وَأَيَّامٌ. That, oh my son, relax. You're going to get days and days and days with the swords. You're going to be the man of the swords. Prepare my child that he must grow up with a weapon. Putting a phone in his hand is not going to make him that man to fill that slot. When he's going to reach that camp, they're not going to ask him, you know, IT. They are not going to ask. They are going to ask you, are you ready to die for Allah? He will say, I grew up ready to die. I went on the horse only so one day I can ride for Allah. I went in the water so one day I can swim for Allah. I shot the arrow that one day I can shoot for Allah. But all of it was based on mental preparation. That muscle never just come to make my body strong. Muscle came to die for my Allah. With mental preparation and physical preparation. How will you tell your child that? So the easiest way is, it's called ta'aleem. You will have to find the kitab because me and you are not that courageous person. One kitab that was written years ago is called Futuh al-Sham, the conquest of Sham, Syria. The author goes through a lot of Islamic conquests. In the book there is exaggeration also, but it is much better than your Red Riding Hood, your Goldilocks, your Mickey Mouse, and all your lies of Superman and Batman. Because somehow or the other, a small group of Makkah reaches Medina. And that small group of Medina takes over the entire world. They had to have had something in them which made that happen. Your child is going to be that small group which will take the world. So you will have to start learning about that group from young. Bring ta'aleem back in the house. One is the talks of jihad. And one is the talk of Jannah. The talk of jihad will tell him that you're not born for the phone. You're born for a weapon. And the talk of Jannah is to tell him you're not born for this world, you're born for another world. Become a real partner. With dua, mental preparation, and some physical preparation. You will have to be a father right till the ending, during their good days and their bad days. With your dua, don't let them go. No matter how far they are, bring them back. And if the child is young and is clean, then prepare him by saying, oh Allah, I already put his name. There were people in the past, they would meet an alim who had a madrasa, they would say, my child is small, but you can already write his name in your records, like one day he's coming to your madrasa. Waqi, that child one day reaches that madrasa. You can ask for Allah, will you put my child's name in? It is a girl, it is a boy, it makes no difference. If me and you cannot be in the army, then at least let us become the parents of the soldiers of the army. Tarbiyatul awlad fi Islam. Whoever is going to have children, whoever got children, look at your child as a fighter for Allah. Every time you see him, say, my fighter, my mujahid. And then put your money in, put your effort in. If it costs something to send him for horse riding, pay that money. If it costs something to send him for archery, pay. But let your intention be, oh Allah, I will do my small, I want acceptance from you. That is just the beginning, then you will have to go further. But when that slot becomes available, like how those people were used to make a revolution in Turkey, they never thought once upon a time, I'll be sitting in that high government, and I will be changing the world. They went front and Allah, the rest, me and you go front with our children. Put them in front. We are on the verge of the revolution. It will be the honor of all of us if our children can be in the camp of Iman. No despondency. وَمَا كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. That no matter how terrible their plots and their plans are, remember the mountain will not move because of their plans. May Allah make my child and your child from the mountains of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those mountains. Let my hand also touch that flag. Let their hands carry that flag. May Allah Ta'ala let our tongue either give a salam to Isa alayhi salam, or let them present our salams to Isa alayhi salam. But let them be of the right camp. May Allah Ta'ala, we make that effort that Allah is the one that accepts. Alayna al-jum, that from our side is to make the effort, and from Allah Ta'ala's side is to accept the effort. May Allah Ta'ala accept every person of this thing will end now in your heart to make this image. The intention, if it is here, it doesn't need a tongue. It doesn't be loud. You don't have to go and tell your wife, you know what? I already wrote his name in that register of dying. She'll die. You make it. Put that name in. A woman is supposed to have a little bit more of that fear. A man must be. I will end on one last point. At the time when the Khilafat fell, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah, he made a lot of dora he made in the Arab lands, a lot of dora, to give them himmat and courage. Because Aqsa was taken over. The Jews had taken over. They won that 6-day war, whatever they called it. It was a shock in the world, in the Arab world, surrounded by Arabs and Israelis who won. Everyone was like despondent. So everyone was speaking about what made this happen. He gave a speech. He says, remember when that aeroplane was high in the sky, that was the aeroplane of Islam. A time came where people started thinking that aeroplane can never come down. So the pilots forgot about worrying about fuel. That's why it came down. And when it landed, everyone said, what happened? You were so high, but you were only high because you had fuel. That aeroplane came down. But he said, there's no despondency. If this aeroplane can get its fuel again, it's way back. What is that fuel? He said, it was the fuel that was pumped in by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam painted for his Sahaba the true picture of paradise. He spoke about paradise so much that when they would say Allahu Akbar, they would be seeing into the gardens of Jannah. He said he brought it so close to them as though they were 1 foot away from entering into Jannah. And then when he found them, that desire, I want that fruit of Jannah. I want the woman of Jannah. I want the life of Jannah. Then he said to them, there is only one bridge between you and the garden. It is called the bridge of death, dying for Allah. He said a bridge which was scary became wonderful and enjoyable. Forget putting their foot on the bridge and saying, well, the bridge collapsed. They went running over that bridge. He says, when Jannah will be presented in front of our children, then death will no longer be scary anymore. It will be a bridge that is preventing you from getting what you want. But cross the bridge for Allah and you are in paradise. Mental preparation of our children, physical preparation, speak to them the stories of those who fought for Allah, speak to them a lot about Jannah, bring the pictures so much in front of them, and then say to them, there's only one bridge, my son, you have to cross. Are you ready to cross it? May Allah tabarakallah make all our children from the warriors of Islam. May Allah tabarakallah make all our houses from the markazes of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.